Shakespeare and Company currently presents the comedy thriller Private Eyes, written by Stephen Dietz and directed by Jonathan Croy. Private Eyes runs weekends only in the Elaine Burstein Theater, September 20th through November 9th. In the play, theater and life intertwine when actors Matthew and Lisa, a happily married couple, find the truth nearly too impossible to uncover. The cast features company artists Carolyn Calkins and Luke Reed. They join us now. Good morning, Carolyn. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us. Thank you for getting up early. And Jonathan Croy, thank you very much. Always nice to have you with us as well.
My pleasure.
All right. So let us begin with you, Jonathan. Tell us a little bit about this show and how you came to it and why it's special to you.
It really is special to me. It's a romantic comedy, essentially. But it's a romantic comedy that's got some heart to it and, you know, some teeth. Stephen Dietz wrote this play about a sort of love triangle. So you've got this marriage that's having some issues. But then he decided to pull a fast one on all of us, and he mixes up what reality is throughout the play. So sometimes you're shifting in time, sometimes you're in and out of someone's memory or someone's dream or even an episode with a psychiatrist. So you never quite know what's going on, and yet at the same time, you always know what's going on. It's a great little comedy.
So for you as a director, you have to know what's going on, right?
Well, you might think so.
I mean, you have to have a firm grasp on it.
Yes, but, you know, it's funny. We came to this conclusion early in the rehearsal process that no matter where you are in the play, that's reality, and that was the only way to approach it, whether it turns out to be a rehearsal of a scene or whether it turns out to be a memory. If you're not invested in what's happening right there in the moment in front of you, it'll lack substance. And one of the things that I love about this play is that it's not shallow. It's not glib. It actually does have some heart, some real relationships.
So one of the actors playing the character having this a relationship is Lisa, and Caroline Calkins is here. So Caroline, talk a little bit about your character and what this couple is going through.
Sure. So I play Lisa, who is an actress married to Matthew, and having an affair maybe with somebody else, with the director of the play. And most of the play for me is about Lisa's sort of being caught between these two people that she's in relationship with and ultimately trying to reconcile with her husband.
And that's and Luke comes in because you want reconciliation, correct?
Yeah. If anything else, it's not necessarily. I mean, I look at it as it's not necessarily. I want the answer I want. It's more just I want an answer. The truth itself is what's actually being pursued between this couple because it's just not getting said. And so I'm in constant pursuit of the truth in the liberal sense of the word, whatever that means, throughout the entirety of the play.
How long have you been married in the play? Has that specified?
No, is it? I don't think, wow. Gee, do I not know my lines? No, I don't think it is. I think it's up to interpretation.
Because you're both very young. So it would indicate that you haven't been married for perhaps that long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I think for us the most important thing in the play is the relationships that we've been able to build on, and luckily we're all, almost all of us in the play, have done a fair number of projects with each other. So for me, the great joy of being in this play is being able to work with people that I've been lucky enough to work with for a few years now, including John Croy, and that makes a relationship like a marriage a little more easy to access.
And of course, Matthew, you in playing Matthew, mm-hmm. you could be imagining all of this.
Yeah. I've had many an audience member saying what is true, and
you say none of your damn business.
No, I say I just say, you know, I think what do you think is the stock answer.
Come see the sequel next year.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like it gets better than that, Jonathan, does it? Than having an audience come out and talk about it and want to figure it out and accost actors like Luke and say, hey, what's going on?
Absolutely. It's a delightful little puzzle. And I think people engage with it on many different levels, you know, both as the relationship story, as the comedy, as the heartfelt family drama, and also, you know, as the sort of conundrum that it is.
And for a work like this, that it's running for some time. Is it running for most of October?
It is into November. Three more weekends.
So you get to work things out.
It's one of the things that I love about the way that we program our seasons. We actually run our plays unusually long amounts of time, and it gives the play a chance to settle. You know, it's like a fine wine.
Yeah.
It actually takes on other flavors that it didn't have initially.
Let me just briefly talk about the elephant in the room, and then we'll get back to the play. But that is
there's an elephant in the room.
Well, you know, there's obviously news that there's a shakeup in artistic directors and all that stuff. Does that impact you at all?
Not as much as you might think.
I mean, you can still go and do your thing.
Absolutely.
And, okay.
You know, this time of year, we're wall to wall action. Who's got a minute during the day to think about these things? We're in the middle of the fall festival.
Apparently somebody's got, you know, they're letting people go, so somebody's thinking about it.
Well, somebody is, but thankfully not me.
Okay. You don't have to worry about that. but you think, well, as long as your check clears, right?
Well, you know, of course it's a little more complicated than that. I'm being a little glib. But at the same time, we are up to our ears in the largest program our education program runs, the Fall Festival of Shakespeare, and its 26th edition this year. We've got It's a Wonderful Life on the horizon, which goes into rehearsal in another week or two.
Right.
You know, there's plenty to keep you busy at Shakespeare and Company.
So a lot going on.
A lot going on.
When it comes to doing a show like this for the two of you, you do it on the weekends. Do you lose anything not doing it every night, like in a normal schedule, or is it kind of nice to just revisit it on the weekends?
Besides my lines?
Yes.
No, I mean, for me is, I think, referring to what John said, I think it gives it time to breathe, and then there's something new. There's a new insight maybe I've had throughout the week, and that so I'm seeing it every weekend through fresh or maybe less fresh eyes. But either way, it's truthful and it's new, which is exciting, as opposed to it being so strictly regimented into my day.
We're also both simultaneously directing in the Fall Festival of Shakespeare. So we spend our weeks with a bunch of awesome kids at schools. And I don't know about Luke, but I find that I am learning from them all week, and I can be re-inspired by the time it gets to Friday and I get to be on stage myself.
Forsooth.
How do you feel that you learned from them?
Well, one of the things I love about working with kids is that they're...
How old, by the way?
High school. So the Fall Festival is high school ages. I work at Taconic Hills High School, which is, you know, out in Craryville, New York. And we're working on A Midsummer Night's Dream. And the sort of sense of wonder and newness that the kids bring to the project is inspiring to me.
Excellent. And Luke, you do?
I'm at Taconic High School in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And we're working on Twelfth Night right now. And to echo more or less what you said, it's just that it's... I feel like in the professional world, there's often like, this is the right way to do this scene. This is the way that it's always done. But these kids come up with these like new enlightening interpretations it's so exciting, and it's alive in a way that I think theater can often not be.
When you take on a project like this, John, is this the perfect schedule? Is this to do weekends and to be able to have that time in between? Or do you like the every night?
You know, the craziness? I agree with Luke. I like having time to let things roll around in my head. You know, I like having things on the back burner. I think that's one of the advantages of working in rep as well in the summertime,
right,
when you're doing two shows simultaneously. One almost inevitably informs the other. And so you find that the work gets richer. And then again, at Shakespeare and Company, you're working with people most of the time that you've known for years. And you can't fake that level of intimacy, you know, as opposed to the standard model where you kind of show up to work the first day and you meet a bunch of genial strangers and you carve out relationships from there. You know, with us, it's more like, you know, the extended family showing up for Thanksgiving.
And never leaving.
Yes, yes. The crazy uncle. The
yeah. Except it's King Lear and everyone's dying.
Well, there you said it. Now, as far as Stephen Dietz and Private Eyes, what do we know about how long has the show been around?
He started working on the script in the early 90s. And then it became the sort of it play in the mid-90s. Everyone was producing it, including us, strangely enough. And, you know, maybe I'm cynical, but I look at it and it seems pretty obvious to me that as I remember the 90s, the early part of the decade was sort of a reaction to the 80s.
Right.
You know,
we're not going to do this anymore.
Exactly. We were looking for ourselves.
Oh, we have to pay for what we, that debauchery. Oh, yes.
And, you know, after the sort of wasteland of 10 years in the 80s, it's a romantic
comedy.
Better
known as the Reagan administration, well, for those of you.
I wasn't going to say it.
For those of you in the room who weren't born.
But it's, you know.
No, what year were you born?
Luke? 89.
89. All right.
He's trying
go.
To make me cry. But this comedy, I think in the way that he has crafted it, sort of expresses that yearning for identity, for truth, for, you know, what's real anymore. You know, if I remember correctly, and I might not, the 90s were largely about that, about us finding ourselves again.
And also, in some cases, great excess. And then, you know.
Admittedly.
And then finding out, you know, with all this new technology. And it was an interesting time.
It really was.
Yeah.
In retrospect.
the name of the show is Private Eyes. Shakespeare and Company presents Private Eyes weekends in the Elaine Bernstein Theater through November 9th. For more information, you can visit shakespeare.org, shakespeare.org. Jonathan Croy is the director of the performance. It's always a pleasure to see you, sir. Thank you very much for being with us. Caroline Calkins and Luke Reed, great to have you both here. Congratulations and have a wonderful run.
Thank you.
Very nice. We post all of our segments online at wamc.org/roundtable. A reminder, you can find out the full schedule of Private Eyes and also find out about It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play, and the Fall Festival of Shakespeare, and Romeo and Juliet, and all the cool things going on for the remainder of the year at Shakespeare and Company by going to shakespeare.org. You are listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.